It's good to be here today. I am thankful for the opportunity to come and stand before you. It is an honor. And as Pastor said, I was here many years ago when his dad was pastor, Brother Carl Ogden, and so he was my pastor. And I've had two pastors in my life. Pastor Jeremy's my third pastor. And Brother Carl Ogden, his dad, was my second pastor. And we had a lot of great times here back in those years and a lot of great memories. I was asking with Brother Ogden, I was talking earlier, I asked him if you remember there was one Mother's Day. He liked to give things out like most pastors do. And so he said, I've got a special gift for the mother who has the most photos of her grandchildren. Instantly, every person went, they jumped them upside down in the pews and they started scrambling for photographs. He just kept talking and making announcements and stuff. And pretty soon he kind of figured out who had the most. And so he gave the person the gift. And I don't remember what the gift was. That was a long time ago. Amen, preacher. He starts preaching. All of a sudden, the lady, how many remember Miss Melba Gaston? Anybody remember? She jumped up. Oh, I've got her, Pete. I've got more than her. I've got X number. And he's going, didn't know what to do. Right? You remember that? I said, oh my goodness. So I learned that one thing from him. Never do anything like that in the service ever. Amen. And he never did. He said, I'll never do. He told me, he said, I will never do that again, Brother Glenn. Ever. And I said, me neither. And I never did anything like that. Amen. Had a good time. My mother, I won't say a whole lot about my mom. Some of you know my mother or knew my mother. And she passed away at age 66. She went home to be with the Lord. But I will say this. I want to say this. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for my mother. Not because she gave me birth, which she did, but because of the influence that she had in my life. Now, my mother wasn't always a church goer. Matter of fact, I never attended church much. Well, really never. I attended when I was a little bitty fella. Believe it or not, I sung on the radio when I was a little fella. Okay. Grade school. And then mom and dad got out of church for many a year. Big mistake. But it happened. And so we moved to Mesquite area. And one day my mom, we come in from work on a Friday night. We're sitting at the table eating. And my mother says, we're going to church Sunday. I'm like, Mom, what are we going to church for? Who wants to go to church? I don't want to go to church. Now you listen to me, young people. I'm 18 years old, graduated from high school, and been out over a year, or about a year. She said, as long as you're living under my roof, you will go where I tell you to go. And I said, yes, ma'am. And I went to church. My mother is responsible and influenced me to accepting Christ as my Savior, and I got saved. If it wasn't for my mother doing that, I probably would not have gotten in church. I probably would still be lost. I don't know. Only God knows. But what I'm telling you is a mother has great influence and can have great impact on the lives of her children. And by the way, she should. She should have influence on the lives of her children. I want to talk to you about that subject today, a mother's influence. A mother can be a homemaker or a homebreaker. Do you believe that? She can. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 14 with me. Stick your finger in there and look up Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 14. We're going to read verse 1. We'll stand in a moment. We'll give you a chance to find these places in the scriptures. We're going to begin in Proverbs 14. We're going to read one verse, the first verse, and then we're going to go to Titus chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 3 through 5 together as soon as as soon as I see, it looks like everybody's got pages calmed down in your Bibles. Pray for me as I stand before you. My eyes are giving me great difficulty. I normally print a message in 12 font. This is 16. It's just age, folks. Okay. I'm sorry. I need new glasses, but they won't give me new glasses because I have cataracts and there's an issue with doing a cataract procedure right now. And so I just got to wait. And the best they're going to be able to correct my vision with glasses is my left eye. The best they can do is 20/60. My right eye is 20/40. That's with glasses. So that tells you where I'm at today. Okay. So I don't know what to tell you. Just don't get old. Anybody here think you can do that? The only way you're going to do that is to what? Be called up to glory. Amen. I know this. When I did my mother's funeral, I had the privilege. My dad called me and he said, son, I want you to do your mom's funeral. Can you do it? And I said, yeah, Dad, I can do it. I said, I know where she's at. And I'm telling you, God gave me the greatest peace. I've done a lot of funerals. I know you have too, brother. But when I did my mother's funeral, I was perfectly at peace. I don't think I shed a tear at her funeral. I don't remember. Because I knew exactly where she was at. And she wasn't perfect. Man, whew. What are you laughing at? Neither are you. None of us are. Amen. Everybody's here. Let's stand together. We're going to begin reading in Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 1. Everybody ready? Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Now let's go over to Titus chapter 2, and we'll read verses 3 through 5. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Let us pray. Father, we love you. Thank you today, Lord, that we have, as a nation, have set aside a day that we can honor mothers. And your word commands us to honor our mothers and our fathers. And so that day will come for fathers, but today it's Mother's Day. And Lord, every mother in here has an awesome responsibility. And Lord, it's God-given. It was given to them by you. And Lord, I know many strive and work diligently to be the best mother they can be. But we don't want to be good mothers. We don't want to be great mothers. What they want to be is godly mothers. So help me today as I try to give a few thoughts on being an influence in the lives of their children and their husbands and others. And Lord, I just need you. I ask you to help me, Lord. Help my eyes to see. And Lord, give me clarity of thought and mind and heart. And thank you for the opportunity here. It is truly an honor to speak in front of my church family. And Lord, I've grown quite fond of the church and our pastor. And I'm so thrilled to have the honor to stand up here today. And God, please help me to get the message out in truth. In Jesus' name I pray and thank you with thanksgiving and do it humbly. Amen. Be seated if you would, please. I know you're thinking Mother's Day. What are we talking about this in this sense here? Okay. Well, I'll get to it very quickly. Mother's Day is a day that we've set aside for one purpose, and that is to honor mothers and to celebrate the fact of motherhood. At our time in our society, years ago, or maybe decades ago, whatever, motherhood was something that was respected. It is something that almost every woman gladly embraced. Today, things have changed. Today, motherhood is often viewed as a hassle, an inconvenience, an obstacle to personal fulfillment and career advancement. Yet, where would we be without the contributions of loving mothers? Poet Robert Browning said of motherhood, "All love begins and ends there." Now, we know it comes from God because God is love, but you understand what he's saying. There is a certain fulfillment in being a mother that no other pursuit. You can pursue a lot of things, but there's no other pursuit in life that can fulfill a woman like being a mother. In our first passage, Solomon speaks of a home builder. Now, when you and I think of home builder, we're thinking of a construction crew that comes out and, you know, slaps a foundation down, puts some walls up, closes it in, you know, does all the things. We're thinking of a home builder. But that is not the home builder here that God is talking about, all right? By the way, that's part of our American dream, isn't it, to own a home? It's becoming increasingly difficult to do that, but it is part of the American dream, all right? For a number of reasons, there are individuals and families who are losing their homes to foreclosures. Taxes is going up like crazy. But our text here speaks of a house building, and it says, except this house is not an outward frame, but a family that lives inside that frame. The word house here describes a household or a family unit. The builder is a wise woman. You could say a wise mother. This is the only place the phrase wise woman appears in Proverbs. Proverbs, which does not imply here that, you know, this being the only place, that doesn't imply that there aren't many wise women mentioned in the scripture. We know that. There are women who have had substantial influence in many areas, all right? Some have said as judges. Some have saved kingdoms. Some have, you know, influenced kings. Some have influenced and aided prophets. Some have even been what we might call prophetesses, okay? Not the modern day, but the old time, all right? Every mother, by her influence, is a house or home maker or breaker. Solomon makes it clear that a wise mother, by her godly influence, builds her home or family. A foolish mother, by her godless influence, tears down her home or her family. We're given here some practical, I don't want to use the word admonitions in the passage there in Titus. And by that I mean advice. Admonition can mean a lot of things. It means, you know, also to kind of warn. But you can take it as a warning or you can take it as advice. And I want to give you some things here. They're about basically, I got five admonitions for wise mothers. Admonition number one. If you want to be the best mother, a godly mother, admonition number one is to fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. That relationship begins with nothing less or short of trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's a lot of professors out there, man. Oh, I know Jesus. I don't do Facebook. I have a Facebook account. I've been on it maybe a half a dozen times in 4 years. And I had it for a specific reason, and I don't like it. But I got on there, and my youth pastor set it up for me, and I got on there, and the first day, I looked at it, and I said, where do people come up with all this garbage? This is trash. I ain't wasting my time looking at this stuff. Some of the women in my church were posting how much they love the Lord. I thought, well, man, where was they at Sunday? Where was they at Wednesday? Where they were at during the revival? Huh? Talk cheap. You got to be saved. You got to have a personal relationship with Christ. You got to admit that you're a sinner. We know we're all sinners. The Bible clearly tells us that there is none righteous, no, not one. Not a single person in here is right with God. We cannot be. We are not, because we are all born sinners. We got to recognize that God has put a price on that sin. Our sin. My sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And I'll tell you something. I'm not one of these modern day preachers, and I know you're not either, Pastor, who tells people that death is just, you know, you die and you're buried and that's it. No, 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 no. That's not death. Death is eternal separation from the God who loves you in the place called hell. We had a pastor in Pensacola who wouldn't use the word hell. He called it the H word because he didn't want to offend people. I'm like, man, oh man. Hell's a real place, folks. And we're going to spend one place in, we're going to spend eternity in one place or the other, heaven or hell. But we don't, you know, God loves us, and He sent Christ to pay the price for our sin. And all we have to do is accept God's free gift to us. What is that gift? Eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, as Romans 6:23b says. How do we get it? The Bible makes that very clear. Romans 10:9-10. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We've got to believe in Christ. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of people who know Christ. They got a head knowledge, but He's not here. And ladies, and moms and dads and young folks alike, you've got to have a personal relationship with Christ. You can't fall in love with the Lord if you don't really know Him. And it's got to begin with a personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know how I got saved? When I was about 19 years old, I attended a church service, Calvary Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, on Peachtree Road. Brother Henry Horton preached a message. I got up during the invitation, walked the aisle. He said, "What'd you come for?" I said, "I don't know, Pastor." I said, I just don't know. I just felt compelled to come. He said, "Have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior?" And I said, "No, sir." So he took the Bible, took me to his office after church, showed me the Bible, what I was, what was going to happen to me, what I needed, and how I could get it. And he said, "Would you like to kneel down here in my office and ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin and save your soul?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Then do it." And I got right down there in front of that desk, and on my knees, I called on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I asked Him to save me. That's what the Bible says. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let me tell you something. I've never been lost since that day. I didn't say I never have sinned. I said I've never been lost since that day. I got it. Just like what you got it that day. I got it. It made a difference in my life. I want you to go back. Let's go back, and we're going to look at the qualities listed here by Paul in Titus 2, 3, and 5. The older women or mothers are to be holy, truthful, kind, temperate, and good examples in all things. The younger women or mothers are to be loving, discreet, wise, chaste, or pure, and submissive or obedient. Where do these qualities originate? Where does all this come from? These godly qualities spring from a personal relationship with God. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is where every mother, as a matter of fact, let's just put it this way. This is where every single one of us must begin. That personal relationship, all right? These are defining attributes that come from a close relationship with the Lord. All other relationships are secondary. Remember that. How many of you have ever flown? Flight attendant gets up, grabs a microphone, and goes through this spiel and tells you that, you know, should the cabin lose oxygen or lose pressure, the oxygen mask will drop down. If you're a mother, what are you told to do? Put your mask on first. Why? Because if you pass out, who is going to put the oxygen onto your child? That's kind of the way it is with Christ. If moms, if you don't pass it on, dads, if you don't pass it on to your children, who's going to pass it on? Your faith. It must be passed on. That's important. It's imperative. Okay? The first and greatest commandment is vertical. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might, with all thy strength. The second commandment is horizontal. To love your neighbor as yourself. It is no different for mothers or for any of us. When a relationship with God grows neglected and cold, our relationship with others is going to also suffer. A woman or mother cannot be wise until she acknowledges God. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." I had someone ask me one time, "Do you respect your dad because you fear him?" I said, "I respect him because I love him. And I fear him too." Listen, we're to reverence God. We're to have a respect for God. We ought to be in awe in the presence of God. God's God. We're not. Get over it. Amen? A woman or mother cannot begin to build her home without God's help. Psalm 127:1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." A wise woman or wise mother sees God as her indispensable building partner. Mothers must constantly ask God for answers. Anybody ever have a kid that has a million questions? Man. What was it? Somebody asked Dennis the Menace, "Why do you have so many questions?" He says, "Well, because my brain is empty and I'm trying to fill it up." I wonder about that sometimes. Okay? Communication is the lifeblood to any relationship, and our relationship with God is no different. We have two avenues of communication: prayer and Bible study. Those are both important, all right? A wise mom will take time to talk with God and read the Bible for herself and read it to her children. By the way, gentlemen, we can do the same thing. That's another day. In the past, Christian poems and hymns have been written about mother's prayers or mom's Bible. We all know that. Lasting memories, life-saving memories of a mother's prayers or a mother's devotion to the Word of God were etched in the minds of the children who became grown adults who still carried those memories with them. Is your example connecting them with more than the world? Is it connecting them with the Word of God? Are you listening to His voice, or are you looking toward heaven for answers and prayers? God has given us His Word. It's a treasure. Do you see God's Word as absolute truth? Do you see it as real and relevant? Is there a desire in your heart to know what it says and then follow its instruction? You see, if we know what it says and we don't do anything with it, it doesn't do us any good. Let me give you admonition number two. Simple. Fall in love with your husband. Titus 2:4a there reads that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. A woman tells her friend, "My husband is an angel." The friend replies, "You're lucky mine's still alive." A woman found herself standing at the pearly gates, an old St. Peter, you know how that goes. That's not really the way it works, but we like to use that for stories and illustrations. Old St. Peter comes and at the gate and he says, "These gates are the gates to heaven, my dear, but you must do one more thing before you can enter." The woman was very excited and asked of St. Peter what she had to do. "Spell a word," St. Peter replied. "What word?" she asked. "Any word, it's your choice," St. Peter answered. The woman promptly cried out, "Love, L-O-V-E." St. Peter answered the woman promptly and said, "You're welcome. Now, would you mind taking my place for just a little bit while I go take care of a couple of things?" The woman sat at the gate and soon saw her husband approaching, surprised. She asked him, "What happened? Why are you here?" What a way to ask him. Amen? Must not have been right. Her husband stared at her for a moment and then said, "I was so upset when I left your funeral. I was involved in an automobile accident. Did I really make it to heaven?" "Not yet," she replied. "You must spell a word first." "What word?" he asked. The woman responded, "Czechoslovakia." If that were me, I wouldn't have made it in. I think she knew that. It's interesting that mothers are instructed, if not commanded, to love their husbands. Husbands are to be the number one priority after God. I remember Brother Rigsby teaching us that at Norris when I was there, Pastor. The husband-wife relationship is the number one priority relationship. It's not the mother-child. It's the husband-wife. And that is so true. And he told us why. If you lose the husband-wife relationship, you lose the whole family. And it is true. Good teacher. Missing. So many times wives grow to resent their husbands for the very reasons that they married them. And I'm sure some of you women in here will relate to this. If she married him because he was strong and decisive leader, now he's too domineering. If she married him because he was fun-loving and carefree, now he's immature and irresponsible. If she married him because he was gentle and patient, now he's too passive and not aggressive enough. If she married him because he couldn't live without her, now he's too clingy and smothers her sense of independence. I see head shaking. It doesn't take long after you've been married ladies, for you to discover that your Prince Charming or your knight in shining armor has a few kinks in his armor. He is far from perfect. Marriage is harder than you ever expected it to be. Come on. Life, with its twists and turns and unceasing demands, has a very way of dulling our senses and diminishing our returns. Soon, the one who drove you crazy in the romantic sense is driving you crazier in the roommate sense. Add a few children, and the primary horizontal relationship in a marriage is in trouble. We cannot afford to lose that loving feeling. Mothers must make sure they stay in love with their husband. How are we doing that? I'm going to give you five things real quick. Number one, remember, love is a choice, not a feeling. It's a choice. God chose to love us even while we were sinning against Him. It's a choice. Okay? Remember the qualities that drew you to your husband in the first place. Give up the illusion of a dream boat with its unrealistic expectations and be thankful for your faithful Tommy the tugboat who keeps going and gets people where they need to be. That's the key. Number two, remember your husband needs your respect and esteem. Men have a deep need for respect. And ladies, if you don't know that, you need to learn it very quickly. In times of doubt, you may discuss your concern, but in the end, you stand by his decisions. I don't know whoever said marriage is a 50-50 deal. It's not. I don't mean to bust your bubble, but it's not. God made him the head of the home. He is the responsible person. No matter who makes the decisions, he's accountable. Think about that. Okay? Always be willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. Make sure the tone of your voice, your body language, and choice of words reflect reverence and respect, especially in front of your children. That's important. Number three, remember, God has wired your husband different than you. Thank God. I tell you, I'm amazed at how different men and women think sometimes. I won't get into a lot of detail here, but it's just amazing. Where do you want to go for dinner, honey? Oh, wherever you want to go. Oh, well, let's go to such a... I don't want to go there. Okay, you just said wherever I want to go. Well, not there. Somewhere else. Okay, well, let's go over here. Well, let's don't go there neither. Okay, where would you like to go? I told you, you pick it. I already picked you. Come on. How many of you experienced that? Can I get amen? You guys are chicken. I see hands waving back. Amen. It is the truth. All right. You are different. Okay. Men, generally speaking, are problem solvers, task oriented and goal oriented. Bottom line, how much does it cost? Economizers and bare necessity communicators. They say women speak twice the number of words as men. I don't know if that's true or not. My wife tells me all the time I talk too much. I don't know if that's part of the preacher or what, but it just, she tells me, okay? So, told me one time, I think you could talk your way to hell. I said, I already did, sweetheart. I asked Jesus to save me, amen? I'm not kidding you, okay? All right. Number four, remember, relationships are living things. Therefore, learn to be flexible and willing to change. You cannot change your husband, but you can grow and change yourself. God can change your husband more than you can ever imagine and probably faster than you can ever imagine. Number five, remember, God is the great attitude adjuster. That kind of goes with number four, but remember that. Never be afraid or too proud to yield. Your home must not become a battleground. One wife defines submission as ducking so that God can clobber him. She's figured it out, hasn't she? I sat in the Sunday school class in what's D.L. Moody's church up there in Fort Worth area, whatever it is. Anyway, Pleasant View Baptist Church. Sat in a Sunday school class in there, and it was a young adult, and this young woman was in there, and they were talking about the husband-wife relationship, and she says, "I've learned that she says, I just don't, she said, I used to be a control freak and I wanted to control everything, but I have learned that I just shut up and let God deal with him. And God really can do so much better at it than me. And that is so true. So just remember that, all right? As you learn to submit, it will be more of a focus on his responsibility to love you as Christ loves the church. In other words, he's going to have more focus put on him, more responsibility, more recognition of his responsibility to love you as Christ loved the church. Let's go on to admonition number three, fall in love with your children. You say, preacher, we already know that. We know we're supposed to love our children. Yeah, but I'm telling you something, in modern day times, that's not always the case. Children, matter of fact, I have a niece who I was talking to her just recently, and she told me, she said, Uncle Glenn, she said, my mama told me years ago when I was a young girl that I was responsible for her losing her freedom. I said, what? She said, yeah. She said, my mom told me that when she became expectant with me, that I just destroyed her life. That she couldn't do anything she wanted to do anymore because she had to take care of me. I said, your mama actually said that to you? And she said, yeah. I said, wow. By the way, that mother, she has shown that kid that ever. I mean, I could see it. I just didn't know she verbalized it to her. It's bad. That's not the way it's supposed to be. A lot of things, you might be a mother if you believe macaroni and cheese should be in its own food group. You spend an entire week wearing sweats. Spit is your number one cleansing agent. You catch spit up in your hand. I never will forget when Kirsten was little. We went down to the Gulfarium down there in Gulf Shores, Alabama. We're walking around there looking at the dolphins and the porpoises or whatever and the penguins and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, I think we'd eaten something before we got there, and she got sick. She's back there. She'll kill me after. Her daddy is carrying her, and all of a sudden she starts up chucking. He grabbed his hat off and she filled it up. I think he threw it in the trash. Amen. Dads do a little bit of that, but I think moms do much more. Okay? You purchase cereal with marshmallows in it. I hate marshmallows in cereal. I'm sorry, kids. You learn to become very good at picking up things with your toes. You got both hands full. You're up each night until 10 p.m. vacuuming, dusting, wiping, washing, drying, loading, unloading, shopping, cooking, driving, flushing, ironing, sweeping, picking up, changing sheets, changing diapers, bathing, helping with homework, paying bills, budgeting, clipping coupons, folding clothes, putting to bed, dragging out of bed, brushing, cleansing, or chasing, buckling, feeding, swinging, playing baseball, bike riding, pushing trucks, cuddling dolls, rollerblading, basketball, soccer, football, catch, bubbles, sprinklers, slides, nature walks, coloring crafts, jumping rope, raking, trimming, painting, edging, mowing, gardening, painting, and walking the dog, and yet you somehow still manage to gain 10 pounds. You might be a mom. Am I right? Sometimes. Titus 2:4 continues to love their children. What could be more natural than for a mother to love her children? You would think nothing. But the truth of the matter is, mothers can resent their children because children can be demanding. They quickly take your own life and identity away. And if you're not ready for that, you can learn to become resentful towards your children. That's what my sister-in-law did. She became resentful to her child. You need to learn to share yourself with your children. They say the great artist Pablo Picasso said, my mother said to me, if you become a soldier, you'll end up a general. If you become a monk, you'll end up the Pope. Instead, I became a painter and ended up as Picasso. Think about it. The greatest thing that you can give to your children is yourself. Ladies, moms, your personal time and your personal attention. Children need a mother's attention. Talk to your children and talk to your children concerning the Word of God. That's imperative. Admonition number four, focus on your home. Titus 2:5a reads, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. That phrase, keepers at home, has more to do with love than it does location. See? A mother can stay at home and yet not focus on her children at home. We've all seen it. I can tell you family after family that I know of where the wife never worked a day in her life. And the children were totally and absolutely neglected and grew up a mess. And these were people that were in church and regularly in church. You can stay home and you can still neglect your children. Don't let your personal desires get in the way of making sure your children are instructed and trained and taught about the Lord and the things of life. Education is important. Let me be honest with you. But the greatest education takes place in the home. Your mother's influence. It's imperative that you do that, all right? The virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. I started to preach on that. I have a couple of messages I preached on Proverbs 31. And I started to go back and polish that up a little bit and work on that. And God led me in this direction. And I hope He led me in the right direction. I know He did. But I mean, I'm hoping I'm getting across, ladies and gentlemen, too. It's important. Okay? Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman, she had a husband and children, but listen to this. Yet she speculated on real estate. The Bible says she considereth the field and buyeth it. Operated a linen business. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. In all of this, please listen, she never neglected her family. Verse 27 of Proverbs 31 says, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. A wise mother will keep her focus on care for her family. So many mothers work outside the home today, and that's, I'm not going to get into that. That's between you and the Lord and you and your husband and you and your family. Okay? It's easy when you do so to forget your first loyalty as a mother is to your children, your family. Be careful. Be extremely careful. Don't let the television set or the computer or games become the parent, become mom. God gave you that position. Fill it and make the most of it. If you must work outside the home, please put extra effort into spending quality time with your children, teaching them to love the Lord, teaching them the Word of God, teaching them how to pray, teaching them how to read the Bible, teaching them to be real in their faith. Material gain and selfish ambition is not worth the sacrifice of your children. Listen, if you become the wealthiest woman on earth or wealthiest man on earth and your children die and burn in hell forever, you've lost. I know I don't have many days left. I already know that. I don't know how many days. I have no way of knowing. You don't either. I don't want to know. And if I knew that I was going to get hit on Highway 80 out here after church this afternoon when I pull out, I wouldn't go out. Would you? I don't want to know. But I do know this. I have a date. For it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. And I know that I am as ready to go as I can be when He's ready to take me. I'm glad. My mom worked some through the years. And like I said, we weren't in church. But I am thankful for my mother. I'm thankful for the influence that she had on my life. I went through a very difficult time in my life right before I got into church. Brother Miss Ogden, know about it. Probably pastor knows. Maybe a few others know. And my mother set me down and she said, "Son, you have always been the most level-headed of all my children. What's the matter with you?" And I said, "Mama, I'm tired of doing what I think everybody else wants me to do, and I want to do what I want to do." She said, "Son, you're making a big mistake." She said, I started visiting the church in town. I want you to come." I said, "Nah, I don't know if I want to go to church, Mom." She said, "Well, would you talk to the pastor?" I said, "Yeah, I'll talk to him." And she called him. He come out and talked to me. You know what I like? Mom gave me good advice. She didn't tell me what I wanted to hear. She told me what I needed to hear. Brother Ogden came out. And I'll tell you what, he was point blank. Again, he didn't tell me what I wanted to hear. He told me what I needed to hear. I will never forget the words. He looked me right in the eyes and he said, "Son, are you saved?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, then why don't you act like it? Why don't you live like it?" I'm, "Oh, okay." Admonition number 5. Find a good mentor, ladies. Look at the verses. The aged women in verse number 3, Titus 2. "Likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women." Paul speaks of the aged women, seasoned, experienced women, not the old ladies. I've seen plenty of old ladies in the church that I wouldn't recommend anybody follow after them. I'm not being ugly. I don't know of any in this church. Y'all are good. But I've seen plenty. And I wouldn't recommend anybody be mentored by one of them. But there are some good, godly ladies right here in Trinity Baptist Church, Wills Point, Texas. And I know Pastor would be happy to give you the name of some of them. I'm not going to do it. Not my place. But if you want someone to kind of like take you under their wing and sort of mentor you, Paul's encouraging you here to do that. Find someone that you can look up to, that you can respect, that has a good, godly example, that has raised a family and can help you by mentoring you as you raise your family. That's important, I think. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, the Apostle Paul recognized that kind of mentoring relationship between Timothy's mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. He says this, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Obviously, young Timothy benefited from that nurturing relationship. May I say, what better person to help a mother learn and grow than her own godly Christian mother or grandmother? I don't think you can beat it. If that's lacking in your life, you're in the right place. The church is a great source for mentoring relationships. Find a wise mother, attach yourself to her, and learn. It's interesting to discover that in Proverbs 8, wisdom is personified as a woman. How can you identify a wise mother? Proverbs 31:26 tells us this. Listen to her words. "She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." My grandmother on my mother's side, I never did really like to go over there a whole super duper lot because, I mean, she was grouchy. And Grandpa was, whoo, man, he was really grouchy. He had a lot of flower beds, and I can't use the words he used to tell us concerning his flower beds, but he told us to stay out of them, and they weren't nice words. And we weren't even getting close. He just liked to holler at us and tell us to stay out of his flowers. My grandmother told me one time, she looked at me, I was in about second grade. I think I told you this, but she said, when you grow up, you'll never amount to nothing. You'll be in the pen. I was just getting a drink of water, and I never said nothing. I just went on and got my drink of water and went outside. I'm second grade. I have never forgotten that statement. Never. Second grade. Think about that. What kind of an influence? You know, I'm glad my mom didn't give up on me. Amen? How can you identify a wise mother? Look at her husband. Examine her relationship with her husband. Proverbs 31:11 says, the heart of the husband of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. How can you identify a wise mother? Look at her children. Proverbs 31:28 says, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Her children praise her as well as her husband for her love and care and attention. How can you identify a wise mother? Look at her home. Proverbs 31:15 says, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maiden. How can you identify a wise mother? Look at her friendships. Proverbs 31:30 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Today, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. That's the beginning of that relationship with the Lord God. You've got to know Christ as your Savior. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not foolish. I've been around a little while, not as long as some of you, but most of you. I've been around a little longer than you. And I know that in a group of people this size, there is probably someone who's playing church. I think I told you, a few years ago, I had a man in my church, a deacon. Was at camp, he got up and walked the aisle, and he knelt down there. I just got up off my knees from praying, asking the Lord to save some folks in our church. I knew we're lost. I felt we're lost. And he met me, and he said, preacher, I am lost as I can be, and I need to trust Christ as my Savior. And I said, brother, you know what you need to do? And he said, I sure do. Let's do it right now. I want you to do it with me. Went through the scriptures. He prayed. He asked, let me tell you something. That man, even though he was a good man, was a changed man. He was a new creature, as you told us this morning, brother. Made a difference. He went back, and I think within the next 2 months, we baptized about 14 souls who said, man, I've been questioning my salvation too. Maybe you need to trust Christ as your Savior today. Maybe you need to come this morning and thank God for your mom, your mother. By the way, let me say this and I'll finish. Pastor, I'm almost done. You better thank God for her now, and you better tell her how much she means to you and how much you love her now. Because one day will come, you won't be able to. There are times I'm doing something and I think of my mama, and I wish I could just hug her and say, mama, I love you still. I miss you with all my heart. And thank you. Thank you for taking such good care of me. I had a man in my church who was 90-something years old, and he told me one day, and he had tears streaming down his cheeks. He said, preacher, I'd give the whole world to hug my mama one more time and tell her I love her. And he said, I will pretty soon. I think so. I'll be able to. I know. Do it now. Thank God for your mama. Mom, do you need to renew your commitment to God and your commitment to motherhood today? Do the kids seem like they've been a handful and a burden? Inconvenience.